Our text is from Revelation chapter 7, 9 to 17. St. John writes, After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they? From where did they come?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." Here ends our text. This holy day, All Saints, is set aside to remember those in Christ who have died. As we do, two questions come up. Where are they right now? And how did they get there? Once you've lost someone real close to you, the question, where are they right now, teases your mind. Where is that person whom you love, laughed, and lived with for so long? Where are you to picture them right now? You know what Disney's answer is? Disney's answer is they're not in the graves, they're not in heaven. They're in your heart. If only I had a nickel for every Disney movie I've seen where someone puts their hand on the chest of a weeping child and assured them that Grandpa or Dad or Uncle Pete isn't gone at all. He's right here. See how nice and tidy that is? No messy grave, no thinking about decaying to dust, no ashes to ashes, dust to dust as punishment for being a flesh and blood sinner. Just sweet memories. But it works the other way too. No trying to picture heaven for a child. No stumbling around trying not to say too little or too much about heaven. Just point the child to his heart, and there is his loved one. This also does away with that nasty little fact that there is a loss, a separation, a going away. Well, not if Grandma or Aunt Mary or Mom is right here for the rest of your life. But some of that is true, isn't it? Our loved ones are in our memories. But eternal life isn't someone eternally remembering you. If it is, our great-great-grandparents would be eternally lost, because who on earth remembers them now? Once a mother called me in panic because she could no longer remember the sound of her child's voice. Was that child now lost? Disney would say yes. Christ says no. Where are they now? Well, you know what unbelief's answer is? They're only in the ground. They're on their way back to dust. They'll never be seen, heard, or touched again. Unbelief says we are nothing but chemicals and minerals. There is no mind, only a collection of brain cells. There is no heart that loves, only chemicals that make you feel a certain way. There is no eternal soul, only a material body that ceases to be once the mechanical pump called the heart ceases to beat. Well, where does Christ say his dead are right now? We're tempted to say the direct opposite of unbelief. Unbelief points at the grave and says, "There and there alone is your loved one, buried beneath 6 feet of dirt on his or her way back to dirt." And we're tempted to hear Christ saying the opposite. "Well, that's not them anymore." But, dear friend, it is. That's why the church has always so carefully cared for the bodies of their dead and marked their graves. That's why we still mark them today. The headstone is a statement to all that this is not the end of the body that rests here. God is not finished here. There's a powerful passage at the beginning of the novel Moby Dick, where a preacher in a whaling community is contrasting those whose loved ones are buried versus those whose loved ones are lost at sea. He preaches, "O ye whose dead lie buried beneath the green grass, who standing among flowers can say, here, here lies my beloved. Ye know not the desolation that broods in bosoms like these." There's another powerful passage about this in the apocryphal Revelation of Moses. God is standing before the grave of Adam and he says, "Adam, Adam." And the body of Adam answers from the grave, "Here am I, Lord." And God replies, "I promise thee the resurrection." Those mortal remains are your loved one. The DNA would say so. God himself says so. He proclaims, "I will call these very ashes, these very molecules, no matter where they've been scattered, back together on the last day, and those very eyes you knew, looked into, and loved will see you again. Those hands that are bones will be flesh again to hold you." You didn't just love a soul, you loved a body, and so did God. He didn't just send his son into the world to redeem souls, but bodies. That's why he lived, suffered, and died and rose in a body. But Christ says more than our loved ones in him are in the ground right now. They're also in heaven. Stephen calls for Jesus to receive his soul in heaven at the moment of death. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today, not someday, today you'll be with me in paradise." So that's where your loved ones in Christ right this very minute are. As you stand before God singing his praise, so Revelation shows our loved ones in Christ standing before the throne of God crying out, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." As you serve your Lord Jesus day and night on earth, so says Revelation, they are in heaven serving him day and night. But there's a difference. You hunger, they don't. You thirst, they don't. The sun beats down upon you, causing you to protect your skin and shield your eyes. The sun never beats down upon them. You cry, they don't. Revelation doesn't just say that God wipes away their tears as we would. No, it said God wipes their tears out of their eyes. He takes away any reason they could have for tears. You take the best divine service you've ever been to, one where you were keenly tuned to that wondrous reality, that in communion the Lord of all heaven and earth comes to earth with his angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven. That's what your dead in Christ know and experience now. And every day they've been separated from you. What a glorious answer to where are dead in Christ right now. Their bodies sleep in the ground waiting to be raised, and their souls live in heaven praising the God who created them, redeemed them, and will raise them. But there are two questions about all saints. The second is, how they get to where they are right now. Well, Disney tells you your dead live on in your heart. And how does that happen? By being memorable. By giving sage advice. By sacrificing for those you leave behind. Disney can live with this because that describes their make-believe characters. They're always saying something memorable, something sage, or sacrificing nobly. But it ain't me. I won't make it to everlasting life, even in someone's memory, that way. Neither will my loved ones. I can remember this or that about my mom, my dad, my grandparents, and others who have died in Christ. But truthfully, it's only a faint ember that bursts again into flames every now and then. Sure, no eternal flame like the one burning at the grave of President Kennedy. Unbelief says the dead are gone. They were only chemicals and minerals arranged to think, move, and talk. Once that ceased, that was it. But you know, few people really believe that. The idea of an afterlife is found in every civilization ever discovered. And most have a good afterlife and a bad afterlife. Well, what gets you into the good one? Well, good works, being a saint. Good people go to a good afterlife, or those who die a hero's death. You aren't paying attention if you have not noticed this. You're going to find it in songs. A person is in heaven because they did good things on earth. TV and movies regularly make that same confession of faith. Often it's going to be by some grizzled ruffian who gives his rugged benediction that his fallen comrade or friend must be with God, must be in a better place, because he sure deserved it. Once more, I am toast and so are all my loved ones in Christ, if where they are right now depends on them having done good things down here. You didn't know my grandmother on my mom's side or my grandfather on my dad's side. They weren't saintly people. They weren't, as the gospel reading appointed centuries ago for all saints describes those who are blessed. They weren't merciful, they weren't pure in heart, and they certainly weren't peacemakers. So where does that leave my surly grandparents? Where does that leave my loved ones who've died but didn't leave squeaky clean lives in Christ? Where does that leave me? Where does it leave you? It leaves me outside of heaven looking in. It leaves me staring at the grave of my loved one and wondering if maybe after all they didn't have what it takes to get into that divine service before the throne of God. But what does our text tell us? Does it say the people in heaven have made their dirty robes white by the good works they did here on earth? Does it say the saints in heaven are those who washed their dirty robes and made them white in the blood they shed by dying a hero's death? Does it even say the saints in heaven's robes are white because they confess their faith in Christ to the point of a martyr's death, so their blood made them white? No, no, and no. It says they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That the saints do good works, that's true. But their good works never merit heaven. No one, not any of my loved ones in Christ or even any of the famous saints like Peter, Paul, John, or Luke had the purity of heart needed to see God. Take Paul, for example. He said that no good thing dwelled within his flesh. He said, the good I want to do, I don't do it. The evil I don't want to do, that's what I do. So how did he get to heaven? The same way your loved one did and you will. In Christ, in his innocent blood shed for your sins, in his holy blood poured out to cover your unholy life. It's the blood of Christ that washes away any and every sinful stain on your robe. Though you can't forgive yourself, though someone else won't forgive you, your sins or sin can no longer stain a robe washed clean in the blood of Christ. Jesus shed his blood on the cross for sinners. He puts his blood in the waters of baptism for sinners. He paints it over the lives of sinners with the words of absolution. He gives his blood in communion to sinners to drink, not just for forgiveness, but for life and for eternal salvation. Jesus wants us to be sure of where the dead in Christ are right now and how they got there. Right now, they are where Christ is, and how they got there is by his good works and shed blood that they were washed in, forgiven by, or drank. Any questions? Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.